Hold up your Bibles, folks. Here we go. This is the Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today through this bald-headed guy in Jesus' name. I threw that part in. You don't have to say that part. Because God can even use me, right? He can use every one of us. I said several weeks ago, I want to say it again because I don't think that you can hear it enough. And I want you to get it in your spirit, because if you get it in your spirit, and I got it in my spirit, and we began to pray together, what we're going to see is something we've never seen before. This has been, would you say 2020's been the craziest year of your existence? I've been through some crazy stuff in my life. Been through a lot of crazy times, especially before I met Jesus. But man, I got to be honest. I don't know that I've ever experienced the things to the level I've experienced this year. And it ain't over. All right, we still got an election coming up in a couple of months. And man, it's just a crazy year. I do believe that our country, especially, the United States of America, is poised for a spiritual move of God, unlike we've ever seen before. I want to be part of that. Not because Eddie is selfish and wants to be part of it, because I want to usher in the next great move of God. I want to be part in seeing God save lives and seeing this world change. And I believe that, and this is just me. Now, I've been saying this for years. And matter of fact, Nick is witness to this. About 5 or 7, maybe 6 years ago, we were in a parking lot of Chuck E. Cheese. We were hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese. And we were talking about politics, one thing I don't like to talk about. And I was saying, that our country at the time, about 6 or 7 years ago, had been in a very liberal position nationwide. And I said, I believe that we're going to see a shift in our country, a shift to a more conservative, a more God-focused, a time where we seek God and put God at the highest level within our country. And Nick reminded me of that not too long ago. He said, "Remember, you said that about 6 or 7 years ago." And it's something that I've been feeling for some time. And I think that we're seeing glimpses of that, but we're not there yet. So please be praying with me, that our country continues to move toward a more conservative, a more God-focused, a more Jesus as the head, right? And when we do, the church as a whole, not just this church, but the church as a whole, better be ready. Because if we're not, we're going to be inundated with people that are looking for hope. We're going to be inundated with people that are looking for help, and we're not going to know what to do with them. Because I promise you today, if most of the churches in our area, were the seats were filled at every service, they wouldn't know what to do with all the people. But I'm going to tell you, New Beginnings is structured in such a way, and we've prepared ourselves in such a way that if the seats are full tomorrow, we know what to do with them. We're ready to not just reach them for Christ, but to what we're going to do. What with them? We're going to teach them for Christ, because that's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are as a church. Remember I told you, our vision was to do what? Man, y'all are good. And then I told you we have a purpose, and our purpose is to be what? A place for a fresh start. Remember, it's right outside that wall. It's big words right on the wall. So if you walk out, you can remind yourself every time. Right there on the wall. New Beginnings is a place for a fresh start. That's who we are. Week number 2, I transitioned in this series, This Is Us, talking about our core values. Because I want you to know, what do we think is important? What are the things that New Beginnings Church says are important to our church? And I believe that should be important to the people of God. Number 1 was what? Jesus. And he should be number 1 in every church that calls himself a Christian church. But he's not. But he is here. He always will be. Week number 2 of talking about our core values, I talked about the value of prayer. Why do we pray? Because what prayer changes things. Someone gave me a sign. It's in my office. It says prayer. the greatest wireless connection ever developed, right? Long before you had that iPhone, you had a prayer phone. Week number four, last week I talked about the application of Scripture. I could sit here every week and I could open the Bible and begin to teach you line by line and precept by precept and go through the Hebrew and the Greek words and meanings, and you'd walk out of here, man, I learned all kind of stuff today. And then you get out there in the world and you begin to face life. And you go, man, how's that Greek word going to help me face this situation? Well, it's not. Now you got a head full of knowledge and no application. We want you to leave here every week equipped and prepared to face the life that you're going to face. So we teach the Bible for life change. We believe you need to apply what you hear, right? Remember, I told you this every week now. What you fully give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said these words. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But he said, do this, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is the best part. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you fully give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. Today we're going to talk about the value, one of our core values, and it's the value of connect groups. You heard me talking about connect groups in the announcements. Connect groups are valuable to our church. You know why? Our church was started as a connect group. As a matter of fact, a very small connect group. Six people in our friend's living room was the first connect group of New Beginnings Church, was the official start of New Beginnings Church. Our connect groups have a vision. We have a vision for our connect groups. Here's the vision. Did I give it to you? Did I give you our vision? Maybe not. Did you? Okay, well, here we go. The value, the vision of our connect groups is to connect people to God. Man, you're so good. To connect people to God and others in a place of transparency, love, and acceptance. Now, let me talk about this for a second. When we do connect groups really for two really big reasons. One is we want to connect you to God. Well, no kidding, right? And that should be always the number one reason that you go to a Bible study or a connect group. We want to connect to God. But we also want you to connect to each other. That's how we develop real community. And then we want this community to connect to the community out there. That's some others, right? And that's reaching the lost. That's evangelism. And then we want you to bring those in. And then what happens is that little connect group begins to grow and multiply. And then it becomes another connect group and another. The words transparency, love, and acceptance. Why those three words? Well, let me kind of explain it to you. Transparency is just the ability to be open and honest with others about all your deep, dark secrets. And not be ashamed. And what happens is when I become transparent to you, it frees you to become transparent to me. And when we take things that were once in the dark and we expose them to light, you know what they're not anymore? Darkness. And so those things that we held as shameful and parts of our past, when we expose them, they no longer have power over us. Transparency is good for that. Then we have love in our connect groups. Well, not just any kind of love. We try to promote agape love, that unconditional love of God through God's people to God's people, so that the people of God can experience real love. Because let's face it, in the world we live in, many times, even in our own families, we don't experience real, genuine agape love. We have conditional love. Well, you do for me, I'll do for you. You know, if you're good to me, I'll be good to you. But we want people to just come and experience the love of God. We, you know, that's that love that gives without expecting anything in return. And then we want to be accepted. That's one of the things about New Beginnings that I've said from the start, is we're a place of acceptance. And when I say we don't care, I don't mean it that we don't care. I mean that we're not concerned about where you came from. We're not concerned about the color of your skin. We're not concerned about what you've been involved in. I always say, if you were in a bar last night and you're still drunk this morning, you're in the right place. If you got high before you walked in the door, at least you're in the door. What we're going to do with you in here is going to be better than what happened out there, I promise you. We're going to accept you just like you are. You know why? Because I can take you back to a time in my life when I wasn't sure that God could accept me like I was. And when I came to Christ, I thought, this God that I, the way that I knew him, surely he wouldn't accept me because I was a bad guy. I had all kinds of stuff in my past. But he did. He accepted me just like I was. That wasn't me. And God wants us to love people just like he loves us and to accept them that way. Our Connect group has four goals. You heard them. We want to connect you to God. We want to connect you to each other. We want to create authentic community. And then connect to the lost. That's creating a bigger community. And then we want to multiply. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Let me take you to the beginnings of Connect groups, the beginnings of small group ministry in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So this is what, let me set this up for you. So what happened was, is that Peter just got up and preached what would probably be the greatest message ever preached on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's poured out. Peter stands up and he preaches this powerful message about Jesus, and 3,000 people give their lives to Christ. Man, what a day of evangelism, right? Man, 3,000 people get saved immediately, and the church age begins. Well, now they, just like I've been talking about, they didn't know, what do we do with all these people? How are we going to teach them? How are we going to grow them? How are we going to minister? How are we going to do all these things? I know what we're going to do. You're going to take some in your house, and you're going to take some in your house, and you take some over to your house, and we're going to have small groups that meet in houses. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is the newly reached disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. In this passage, we find the formation of the first church. And in that formation of the first church, we find and discover the five purposes of the church as a whole in that passage I just read to you. Here's the first one, discipleship. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, following after God and learning about the things of God. The apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to learning about God. That's what we do in our connect groups. We want you to learn about God. That's what we do. We connect you to God, right? Then they had fellowship. But what I love about the fellowship part is they didn't just stick fellowship down somewhere. Oh, and they got together and hung out and had some roast beef. They didn't just have some finger food. No, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and it says, and to fellowship. Fellowship was as important to them, the new disciples, as was discipleship. Fellowship. And fellowship, people of God, listen to me, should not just be a smile and a wave and a hug, especially one of those side hugs on Sunday morning. Fellowship must be the people of God intentionally getting together and breaking bread and hanging out and being the body together. And then there's ministry. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 5, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They took care of one another. You know, the church has been taking care of one another for 2,000 years, and the church is not going to stop. As a matter of fact, let me just say this. When this storm, Laura, is all over, and all the cleanup's been done, and everything's been rebuilt, I promise you, the church will get the greatest credit of anybody else because the church is going to make the greatest impact of anybody else. Because the church takes care of itself. And then there's worship. We can't forget about worship. It says in verse 47, praising God. that every day they praise God. Listen to me, church. Every day there should be a time where we're setting aside some time to give God some praise, to thank him for his goodness, to recognize his presence in your life, and to just praise God every day. I promise you, you praise God every day. Your situations and your circumstances will look a lot smaller when you praise the great one, right? And then we can't forget about evangelism. It says they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. And here it is. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Evangelism, the intentional telling others about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in your life. You know that they say the one of the number one reasons that people don't tell others about Jesus is that they're afraid they'll say the wrong thing. How many of you fall into that category? Well, I don't know the scriptures like you know the scriptures. I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. Listen, have you had an encounter with Jesus? Has he saved you? That's the only story you got to know. Let me tell you, I was this way. I met Jesus this way, and now I'm this way. I got a testimony. And that's all you need. Your testimony is all you need to tell somebody about Jesus. Connect groups are valuable to New Beginnings Church because, number one, this is on your outline, they are a safe place. In Acts chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, Luke writing about the Apostle Paul, it says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. Do you know that in the first church, they were persecuted for their beliefs? That, you know, following Jesus was not socially acceptable. And so they were heavily persecuted, and so they had to literally hide from house to house. But the Apostle Paul is saying that I never hesitated to preach to you the things of God. I never stopped, and I did it from house to house. I did it wherever I could, which is the reason that we started Connect Groups. We wanted to have a safe place where people could go and discover a relationship with God that would literally change their lives. Many times, Christians were persecuted for following, but in the confines of homes, it was safe. You know that as a new believer, Peggy and I never forget, we were invited. We had come to church a few times. I had just given my life to Christ, and we were invited to a connect group at someone's home. Remember that? And she wasn't sure I was going to go. She said, hey, these people invited us to their connect group. Do you want to go? And I said, yes. And she was like, oh, really? I said, yeah, let's go. Let's check it out. So we went, and she was afraid it'd be a little weird. And it was a little strange at first. You know, they opened their Bibles, and we didn't even have a Bible, you know. We really didn't. And then I'll never forget one time, they said, open the Bible to Romans. I had to look in the index to see where Romans was. But you know what? Inside the confines of that living room, I felt safe. That I could just be ignorant, that I didn't know because I had no background. No one had ever taught me where the book of Romans was. And so I just looked in the index like a smart guy would, right? An index says it's on page 700 and something. I went to 700. There it was. We had other friends when we got saved. They were not believers. And one night they'd invite us over. It was a Friday night. They invited us over, which was kind of customary. And we would over there, and I think we were eating some crawfish or something. And they were having a couple of beers. And I wasn't drinking. And so they wanted to know, well, hey, you know, tell us about this newfound faith journey that you're on. So I began to excitedly tell about our new walk with God, you know. And they weren't too excited to hear about it, which I thought was kind of weird. Then they wanted to know why we weren't drinking. And the party went south from there. I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not about rules. It's just about me. You see, I have this history. And my history says every time I've ever had too much to drink, I act a fool. A big fool. So, I mean, like embarrassing stuff. So I said, you know what? I'm going to just make a decision for me that I'm not drinking. Nobody said, well, when you're a Christian now, you can't drink. Matter of fact, if you want to have a glass of wine, have a glass of wine. The Bible just says don't get drunk with it because you act like a fool. Well, I was the picture of that verse. So I said, you know what? In order to not embarrass myself or Jesus, I decided not to drink. It's got nothing to do with rules. Oh, so they, oh, you're going to judge us now. That's what they said. Oh, you're going to judge us now. And everything we say now, you're going to be, oh, they're cursed or whatever. No, no, no. It's nothing to do with that. We don't care about all that. I mean, we literally were shunned by these people who were supposedly our friends. But inside that connect group, no one ever laughed at us and said, idiot doesn't know where the book of Romans is. He doesn't know the answer to this question. They were patient with us and loved on us. It was a safe place for us. I want you to know. And today, even today, connect groups are a safe place for you to discover and develop your relationship with God. And discover and develop your relationship with others. It's a great place and it's a safe place. The second reason we value connect groups is they're a community builder. You know, we have this saying is that as our church grows larger, it must grow smaller at the same time. You know, I've always made it kind of my goal to know everybody. I know everybody's name, and when I meet somebody and they come back the second time, I call them by name and they go, you remember my name? Well, that's what I do. I remember people's names. I have a good memory and I remember. And I do it because this is the, I want you to understand you have value, right? Well, you know, we're coming to a place where I'm having trouble. Remember, it's got nothing to do with my age. Just don't even go there. I knew you were like thinking, well, maybe it's just because he's getting a little older. My mind is as sharp now as it ever was. It's steel trap. It gets in, but it can't get out. That was funny. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with at the many wonders and miraculous signs done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know that I believe everybody wants to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. Everybody wants to be accepted by somebody else. If I was a youth pastor, I'll never forget, a young girl was part of my youth group, and she was just like a normal, just, you know, wholesome little kid. And she went off to school, and all of a sudden, she began to paint her face white and her hair black and black fingernails and all. And the mom was like, I'm so distraught. How did little Susie, her name wasn't Susie, how did little Susie all of a sudden go from this wholesome, cute little girl to this gothic looking thing? I said, well, you know what happened? When she got in school, those people accepted her. And that's what happens. We tend to become like the people who accept us. We all want to be accepted. Listen, if you're weird, you still want to be accepted, weird and all. You know you're weird. But you just want, will people accept me because I'm weird? Yes, we'll accept you because you're weird. May keep you at a distance, but we'll. Yeah. Connect groups are community. Listen, community, although we like to think that community happens here, it's very difficult for community to happen here. We do two services, and you may know people that come to the second service and never see them because you leave before they get here, or you're here early and you're gone. Anyway, you know, the problem is this is not community. It's a place for the communities to get together in the corporately worship. And when we do, there's a great anointing and an outpouring that happens when we gather like this. But I want you to know, this is not community. You want to be part of community? Become part of a connect group. Number three reason that we value connect groups is they help foster spiritual growth. I read to you Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoted is the Greek word eimi, E-I-M-I, eime. And this is what it means, to be or to exist. You know, to be anything in this life or to do anything in this life of significance or value, there's going to have to be a time of devotion. I'll give you an example. Anybody in here in nursing school or been in nursing school? Yeah, Simone, you've been in nursing school. So you know, right, in nursing school, like as smart as you are, you would have failed had you not studied, right? Because it's hard. And they're trying to get you to fail because they want you to be sharp. As a pastor, even, in seminary, You got to study some. Some. Not like nursing school, but you still got to study. You got to devote yourself. Whatever it is you want to do, of any significance in this life, there better be a time of devotion or you're not going to be very good at it. Right? The Connect Group environment is a great place to grow spiritually. So people have asked me, hey, do you think you'll ever do Sunday school? Well, first of all, those two words together, like, make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. When I was a kid, or as a young adult, if you had told me, hey, you want to come to Sunday school with me? I'd have been, first of all, it's Sunday, and I never liked school to begin with. Now you want me to go on Sunday? And the idea of going to Sunday school just sounded so formal. And the other problem with Sunday school is that you have to have large facilities of classrooms in order to house all the Sunday school classrooms. And real estate in this parish is really expensive. So it is much easier to let them go in your house. You already own that. And I don't have to buy it. And it's a much more conducive environment to invite your friends. Imagine one of your coworkers. Hey, do you want to come to church with me Sunday and go to Sunday school? Come on, it'd be fun. You know, I'm going to have to pass. I think I have to clean my sock drawer that day or something. But if you said, hey, this Tuesday night at my house, we're having a little gathering. We're going to do a little Bible study, and we're having some food and some fun. Heck, yeah, I was even, as a semi-barely saved person, I was more apt to do that because it was more appealing to me than going to Sunday school, right? Now, if you're a Sunday school person, don't take offense to what I'm saying. Just what I'm saying. It's not, and Sunday school is just not conducive to evangelism. I don't know anybody who has been won to Jesus through Sunday school. It's a place where you teach people, but it's not a place where you win people. But I know lots of people have been won to Jesus through connect groups or through small group environments. All right. And lastly, man, it's time. Y'all gotta have to sing less or something. I mean, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. We don't want them to sing less. They do such an amazing job. I'll just have to preach less. All right. And lastly, the reason we value connect groups is they create transparency. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19, these words. Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. The Apostle Paul in this passage is talking about what he had to do to become, or to do and to become, to preach the gospel and to win souls for Jesus. He didn't just, he wasn't this religious zealot, and he didn't say it's my way or the highway. He became all things to all people. Hey, listen, I'll be like a Jew for a couple of days if it means that I'm going to get through to you. If it means I need to learn the Catholic lingo, I'll learn the Catholic lingo in order to reach you for Christ. If I need to learn Islam doctrine in order to win you, I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to become all things to all people. I'm going to become transparent. I'm going to take off my religious mask, right? And I'm going to put on Christ. And I'm going to be Christ to everybody and just let him shine through. I'm going to be transparent. Transparency is the ability to be yourself even if the self you're being is not perfect or has it all together. Listen, one of the things we preach to our Connect Group leaders is transparency. Let people see the real you. One of the things people have said about New Beginnings is that I like this church because you're just a regular guy. And I don't know if that's good or bad sometimes, but it is what it is, and I just am who I am, and I can only be who I am. I'm never going to be fake. You're not going to see one person up here and another one there or another one at my house or another one at Walmart. It's just, this is what it is. Some love it, some hate it, and I'm good with all of it. I mean, whatever it is, right? Years ago, Mallory Mealy and I were in a group running with about 3 to 5 guys. And every morning, we're all Christian guys, and every morning we would stop. We would go to a place and pray before we would depart for the day. And every morning we would share a prayer request. Would you have anything? And so we would go around 3 to 5 guys, and they would all say something. And this one guy, really good guy, solid Christian guy, never had a prayer request. And at first I thought, well, maybe just life is that good, you know, and you got nothing going on at work, nothing, you know, wife's okay, kids are great, everything's wonderful. And he never had a prayer request. And I thought, this went on for years. And I thought, I know your wife, and I know your kids, and I know your life, and it ain't perfect. You know what? And he never, ever shared a prayer request. And eventually left our group, and we departed. I think Katrina broke us up. And that man, as far as I know, never experienced the breakthroughs that he could have had he just become transparent. See, you know, I don't have it all together, man. I know it looks like it on the outside, but I don't. You know, and it's in that time of vulnerability that we're going to see real breakthrough in our lives. It's a time when I can just be transparent and say, I don't have it all together. There are times when I struggle. There are times when I get angry. There are times when I'm frustrated. There are times when I'm scared. You know, it's just because I'm human, right? But I value your prayers, you know? And he never, as far as I know, witnessed the breakthrough he could have. All because he wasn't willing to be transparent. Connect groups are valuable to new beginnings because they're safe. They're a community builder. They help foster spiritual growth, and they create transparency. Today, we're going to end our service by taking communion together as a sign of saying, hey, I'm all about the connect group value and being a part of that. So if you would, if you take the wafer, if I can open this thing off the top. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, it says you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Yeah, you can stand up. Sorry. I'm looking at the time. I'm like way over and stressing me out. Whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. The Bible says of the body of Christ, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was punished, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This body was beaten and broken for you so that you could have healing. Here's the healing: emotional healing, physical healing, and spiritual healing, all paid for by the body of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave your body so that we could be healed. We accept and receive that healing today in Jesus' name. And it says of the blood in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption, the full payment for our sins through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God poured out upon us, when he poured out his blood, his grace. The undeserved supernatural favor of God upon your life. And when you take this juice representing the blood of Jesus, we take all the properties that are contained therein, the forgiveness of our sins and the riches of God's grace, God giving us what we don't deserve. And today we receive it with glad and sincere hearts, and we say thank you, Jesus, for the willingness to pour out your blood so that we could be free in Jesus' name. Now, God, I pray that as we go, you'll remind us of the importance of our church growing smaller as it continues to grow larger. We give you our praise. We give you all the glory because you're worthy. And we say, God, have your way in us today as we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.